We're on Genesis 14 and verse 19. We'll look at something or two here. I bring different things to you. Again, remember, we will look at the Greek. The Greek is extremely important in the Old Testament. The Greek text that we have today, from the text that we've had for the last 300 years, is older than the Hebrew text. In all reality, because the Hebrew was taken from the Septuagint. Now we have Hebrew texts that go back way beyond even the Septuagint in the Dead Sea Scrolls. But and here is the Troy and Jeanette. Clemens sent me this Apostolic Bible a year ago or something like that. Anyway, you can get this. It's got a Greek and English interlinear of the Septuagint, which is really nice. And you can compare this to the Hebrew. And if you have a real Hebrew Bible with an apparatus in it, you will have to learn Greek. Because most of it is in Hebrew. As you can see, it's all in Hebrew. There's not in English at all, except where it says Genesis there. But all of this down here is in what language? So the apparatus is written in Greek and Hebrew. You're not going to have much English. To study the Bible from the original languages, you have to learn Greek and Hebrew. It won't hurt if you can learn some Latin also, because they'll cross-reference over the Latin. Anyway, through here, sometimes you'll see that there is a lot in the apparatus on almost every verse. Some of them are less, some of them are more. But the Greek is the same way when you study the apparatuses in the Greek text. And this tells you the history of the text and the different families of texts is what it does. And of course, I've shown you the Jewish Publication Society of the Tanakh, the Hebrew Old Testament. And it's written, and of course that one is too, it starts with it from the back of the book and goes forward. It goes from right to left. And this here, I told you before, their translation is an interpretation, not a translation of Hebrew. They do not translate Hebrew, they interpret it. And I will read to you in Genesis 1 and 1 and 2. Now we know what it says, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Et Hashemayim, Et Ha'aretz, We Ha'aretz, Ha'ya, Tohu Avuhu. Wehoshef El Panei Tohom. We Ruah Elohim. Anyway, it says here, when God began to create heaven and earth. Now I'm going to tell you something, people, that is not a translation. In Hebrew it says, in beginnings, God are created, brought to perfection, the heavens, plural, and the earth. All right. And in here it says, and when God began to create the heaven and the earth being unformed and void with darkness over the surface of the deep, and a wind from God sweeping over the water. That is not a translation, people. That's an interpretation. So what we're trying to do is translate the Bible from Hebrew. We do look at the Greek and the Hebrew together. Hebrew tenses and grammar. I don't know how that the modern Hebrew, Yiddish Hebrew translators come up with the translations or interpretations that they have. Here is a book by S.R. Driver, it's Hebrew Tenses. This is one on just on tenses. Just on Hebrew tenses. All the different Hebrew tenses. That's just tenses, okay? I talked to you about Gesenius. This is Gesenius's Hebrew grammar. Okay? And it's a pretty thick grammar. And I did copy out of here, and hopefully I don't get killed for a copyright infringement, but I copied this old Hebrew text here, and you have that tonight. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And of course, here's Hallam Yates, Biblical Hebrew. This is probably one of the most common ones from the old Hebrew biblical scholars. All right? Brother Randall, I had an extra one, so I gave him one years ago. I don't know how long ago, a couple of years ago or something, three. And you can get these used, probably on the internet for $5 or $10 or something like that. This is a real good biblical Hebrew. It is probably one of the basics. There is lime green also. I have about five or six Hebrew grammars. Here is Brown Driver and Briggs, which I've worn out. All of the numbers in there are cross-referenced to Brown Driver and Briggs. So you will see Brown Driver and Briggs everywhere. Most of the first number that I give you below a word is Brown Driver and Briggs. The second one that I give you will be Kohler and Baumgartner. And if it's Davidson, I'll write down D-A-V. If it's Gesenius, I'll write down G or Gesenius. But anyway, this is a very good one, but it's very expensive. They're around $300 for these two books. It's the most modern, the most up-to-date Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament. So it's a good one. If you really want to get into Hebrew, that's one that I would say that you ought to get. Now let's look at this the table of alphabets here for your ear. Okay? This is the evolution of Hebrew. The evolution of the Hebrew language. Okay? If you go into Old Hebrew, look over there to the Mesop. And this is what the Old Hebrew looked like. Right? You look down through there and you can see it has changed somewhat. The Aleph looks more like itself than any other word, I guess. And then you come into the Maccabean period, the Hosmanean, the Revolt period, the inscriptions, the Samaritan manuscripts, Old Aramaic, the Aramaic and Hebrew, the square characters, and the Rabbinic and the cursive characters. So all of this, and when you go look at the inscriptions over there, Brother Harry, you've been all over the world looking at different things. You've probably seen some inscriptions in Hebrew and in Greek in different places in the world. When I went over there in 1975 and 76, I was the reader. They grabbed a hold of me and said, come and read this, Brother Phillips, and tell us what this says over here. Anyway, so you have the evolution of the Hebrew language as far as the script and the alphabet is concerned right there. Now, as we were talking about last week, I'll go over this with you a little bit, because Brother Harry, you weren't here. So we'll go over this a little bit as you look at this one. Okay. You do have this one someplace. This is one that's good to have. It's out of Kyle M. Yates. It's out of his deal there, but it's my writing, and they didn't have this in there. If you want to write this down, it's Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, He, Thal, Zayin, Zeth, Zion, Heth, Teth, Yod, Kof, Lameth, Memon, Smeke, and Seth, Ayin, Pei, Sadi, Kof, Resh, and Shintel. The Aleph, the idea is the ox's head. Okay, so you can put down an ox, the head of the ox, over to the right. Now I have written ox back down there. Now the Beit is the idea that is a house. Okay, a house, a little house. Alright? And the Gamel, it is like a camel. Alright? And over there to the right, I show you what it looks like in ancient Hebrew, okay? And then the Daleth is a door. Alright? And it tells you how to see each one of these also. And we have the hay, which is a window. See how it might look like a window? And the wa, which is a reaping hook. Now, late in modern Hebrew, that is the what? Not wa, but ba. Okay? And then Zion is like a weapon, like a club. And the chet, or heth, there, it's like a chet. Cheth, you breathe with it, but you've got a little bit of chet sound in it. All right? As it says over there, that's a fence. Then we got teth, that's a snake. And then yod, that's hand, like this.
and then kaf, that's the open hand. Lameth is a whip. You can see how that might be a whip. And the nun, that is a fish. And the samek is a prop. And the ayin is an eye. As you can see there, most old ayins will look like this. And it's got eyes on it, okay? Eyes. Like a cartoon character. All right. Ayin. And then pay. Pay is a mouth. See how it might look like a mouth sideways? Mouth open. Pay. Even with a little tongue in it. And then we have the sadhe. Sadhe. You start with a T. It's like a TS. Sadhe. Modern Hebrew will not pronounce the T at all. It'll just use it like a S. Sadhe. And then we have kof. Kof. And the by the sadhe was a fish hook. And then the kof is the back of the head. You can see how it might have a head with a face in the front of it. Flat face, by the way. And then we got resh, which is head. And then sin and shin, that is like a tooth with long roots. Sin, it has the dot over the left side of it. It's like an S, and the shin with the SH sound is over the right side. Modern Hebrew does not make a distinction between sin and shin. In this, we have 22 consonants, okay? 22 consonants. In modern Hebrew, how many do they have, Randall? 30-something? 32 or something like that. All right, the Hebrew reinvented their language, but it is not biblical Hebrew. There is a difference. And, of course, there's the Tau. The Tau is the cross. All right. It's like a T or a TH. With a dot in it, it's like a T. Without the dot, it is like a TH sound. All right, so we've got that. Do you have any questions about this? Probably a lot. All right. Well, let's dive into this. Way barikehu. Boy, that's a long word, isn't it? Way barikehu. Now, the modern Hebrews will say ba barikehu. All right? Wayomer. And the modern would say Vayomer. All right? And Baruch. Avram, Liel, Elyon, Kone, Shemaim, Waaretz. All right. Now, comparing it, let's read it first of all. And he intensely blessed him. Look at this. It's third person masculine, singular, PL, wow, consecutive, and perfect. The suffix is third person masculine, singular. So we have a prefix, and we have the person acting and the suffix who is being acted upon in this word right here. It tells you all of that. Third person masculine is, and he, we got a we on the front of it here, a wa, and that is a and, page 253 if you want to write that down. I didn't write it down on here, but you can write 253. That's where the and starts with. Okay? And that is in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Wa, that's the and. Wa, barikehu. Alright? Baruch is the root of it. Look at the word baruch. Baruch is the root. Okay? And then in Greek, in the Septuagint, it would be eulogese, eulogese. He intensely blessed him. He intensely blessed him. He blessed him. Because you know it's third person masculine singular doing the acting, and he's acting upon third person masculine singular. Okay? That's beautiful. In Hebrew, it's even better than Greek this way. Because you've got the person acting, and you've got the person he's acting upon sometimes. And he said... All right, Wayomer, and he said, that and right there, we on the front of it, page 253, and then the other one is page 55 and page 65. See, page 55 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 65 are 55 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and in Kohler and Bumgarner is page 65. You can look that word up. And it's Amer is the root, Amer. See that word Amer on the bottom there? That's why I've written the root of it down there. And then it says, and he had blessed. All right? And he had blessed, masculine, singular, tau, participle, perfect participle. It comes from Baruch, page 138 and page 159. And you go left, you go eulogeimenos, eulogeimenos, having blessed Abram, Le'el, by God, Elyon, all right, by God. Now, it would be to theo in Greek, to theo. That's, it would be like dative singular masculine in Greek. To theo, to huxio. Hephisto, hephisto, all right? Hephisto. That's the Most High, God the Most High. To God the Highest. And he had created the heaven. And by the way, they really goof up here again. Shemayim there. Shemayim we are. What's Shemayim? Randall, is that a singular or is that a plural heavens?
It's plural.
Plural. So how should they have translated it? It should be Uranois. All right, but no, it's Uranon. They translated it incorrectly in the Septuagint. All right? Because we know that in all places back there where it talked about the heavens, it's plural. Okay? And compared to the Hebrew text that we now have, we know that it was plural. Okay? They intentionally created it singular because that was their interpretation, not the translation. And it says, Kai Tenge, and the earth. And the earth. The earth there is singular. All right? And Cindy, would you tell me the difference between Adam, Adama, and Aretz? Or Ha Adama and Ha Aretz?
Okay, Ha Adama has to do with the dirt, the chemicals and stuff.
Like that. Yeah, the chemical makeup of the ground.
And Ha Aretz has to do with the difference between land and water.
That's right. Basically a continent, a land, or country, or whatever. As a whole, a big place. The dirt, the ha'adama, is basically... Now, sometimes they will interchange it, but mostly what I'm telling you is true. It's what we call indicative of that use. Okay? All right. And he blessed him, and he intensely blessed him. And he said having blessed Abram by God, Most High, possessor. All right? This God possesses, masculine, singular, cal, participle. He is the possessor of heaven, Shemayim, and we arets. Now, it didn't say we harets, and it didn't say Hashemayim, the heavens. It says heavens and earth. All right, the heavens and the earth. He is a possessor. He owns and possesses, and he's in control of the heavens and earth. Okay? 14 and verse 20. Now, 14 and verse 20. Can anybody read this first one here for me? How does that start out? Yuvaruk. Yuvaruk. Okay? And the next word. El. Elyon. Asheri. Okay? Megan, Sarekya, Biyadika, all right, Yitin, Lo, Maaser, Mikol, all right, and blessed, and kept on blessing. It's a masculine, singular, cal, perfect participle, and blessed and kept on blessing God, El. By the way, you can look up God on page 40, okay? God, El. That's powerful, that's creator, that's what that word means. And then Elyon, it means Most High, page 751 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, okay? And then who, we have kind of a relative pronominal adjective here, who He has given or delivered, third person masculine singular, PL perfect. He has given your oppressors unto your hand. Okay? He has given your oppressors unto your hand. He has the people that are striking out against you, they are in your hand. Your enemies are your under your hand. Under your hand. And then it says, and he kept on giving to him the tithe from all. In other words, Abraham kept on giving the tithe to God. He tithed. You know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam tithed. Did you know that? In the Garden of Eden, Adam tithed. Why did Cain, why did he get in so much trouble? What was his first thing? What was his first problem? He was greedy. He gave the wrong offering and the wrong amount. He didn't tithe. He wasn't going to do it. He worked too hard for what he had. He was going to give, but he wasn't going to give the tithe. And when the Lord, Jehovah confronted Cain. And Jehovah spoke to Cain and he says, don't you understand that if you give the right offering and the right amount, that you will be happy? That your face will shine with happiness? But he said, since you didn't, he said, your face is flaming out with anger. In Hebrew, that's beautiful. It just tells you the expressions. He said, your faces, your expressions are flaming out with anger. All right? Well, he wouldn't do it. And, of course, his brother Abel tried to convince him also that, why don't you do right? And when he did that, he caught Abel out there in the woods. And he slashed him and slashed and slashed and slashed and killed him. And kept on slashing. That's what we call an overkill. It was just cut and cut and cut. This is what we call an anger killing. What else do they call it, Brother Harry? A killing, a murder by great anger. Angry. All right. The Most High God, and he gave a tithe to him. All right, Hebrews 7 and 4. And he said he has given these under your hand, and it is hypoarkeirous. Hypoarkeirous in Greek. It's underhand. They are under your hand. All right? And he blessed kai urogotes, ho theos, ho hypistos. And he blessed the God the Most High. 1421. Does that one have a, Randall, do you have an interlinear or translation? That's just all Hebrew, isn't it? Or the one you got there?
This is the Reader's Bible.
The Reader's, does it have any English in it at all?
Footnotes.
Oh, footnotes. Oh, okay. The King, the Basileus, 1421. Wyomer, Melech, Sedom, El, Abram, Ten, Li, Hanefesh, Waharikush, Ka, Lak. All right. And this is pretty. This is a little different in the Septuagint than it is in this translation. All right. The Septuagint is a little different. They had an idea and they brought the idea forth. Okay. This is the king, the Basileus. In Greek and Melech in Hebrew, and he said, King of Sodom, Sodomon is what it is in Greek, the King of Sodomon. And what does Sodom mean? What does that mean? What does Sodom mean? Keep the idea of Sodom in your head all the time. Flammable. Flammable. It's flammable because there was a lot of tar pits and things around there. Flammable place. Like Taft out here. Taft had a lot of tar pits out there at one time. La Brea, down in La Brea tar pits. This is a place that's flammable. In Los Angeles, 150 years ago, all of the houses in Los Angeles had tar roofs on them from the La Brea tar pits. And the roads were tarred from the La Brea. They had ox carts, and they would take them out there with barrels full of tar, and they would pave the roads. And they would pave their houses and make their houses waterproof. on top with this tar. That Sodom must have been like that. All right. And he said to the king of Sodom, unto Abraham, give to me the souls. Give to me. Look at that word, give to me. Cal, a masculine singular, cal, imperative. The souls and portable property for you to take for yourself. All right? And in the Septuagint it says, and the cavalry, the horsemen, the portable property there, there's the hippon. Hippopotamus, what does that mean? Remember what hippopotamus means, Brother Randall? Hippopotamus. Water horse. Hippopotamus is water horse. That's what the Greeks looked at the hippopotamus and said, there's the water horse. All right, hippos. Hippopotamus. Hippon. The horseman, the cavalry. But the cavalry, the horsemen, you take for yourself. You take all the horses and all the cavalry things. They must have, these kings must have had horses that they were fighting with. They had horses and chariots and wagons and saddles and whatever else. Probably didn't have stirrups back then. A lot of these people, they didn't have stirrups in their saddles. Who invented the stirrups? Come on now, guys. Who invented the stirrups? Who invented the stirrups? That brother right there knows who invented the stirrups on horses. I know he does that. Who did it? Who invented this? We have saddles. Now, boy, I'm sorry because you came in here a little bit later and everything else. But here I ask you right off the bat. We're testing you when you come in. But I know that you know it. Who invented the stirrups and they swooped all of Europe with it? They just woofed through Europe on their little horses. Because they had stirrups, and they could outride anybody, and they shot their bows. Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan. All right. They're the ones that invented the stirrups, and they could outride anybody over there in Europe. And that's how they went through Europe, just wiping out everybody. All right. Now, here we have the cavalry in 1421, Genesis 1421. Now, 300 B.C., when this was translated, they had the idea that these people had horses and they probably still had the legends passed down with the Septuagint, with the rabbinical legends. And they said when he offered them the cavalry, all the horses and everything else, but now we're going to see what Abraham. Now let's read it from a translation. Let's go to Genesis. Who's got Genesis? Just from your Bible. And let's see what they say. Genesis 14 and verse whatever, where we started over tonight. Genesis 14. Let's start where we started. Where was it? 18 or 19? All right. And blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, El Elyon, and possessor, that means owner of heaven. It actually, it's heavens now, not heaven, but heavens and earth. And blessed be God, all right, El Elyon, all right, the Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tenth of all right. He gave who? Who did he tie it to? Who did Abraham tie it to? Huh? He ties to Melchizedek, all right. Who delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tenth of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give the people to me, and take the goods for yourself. The goods is the horses, the portable property, the horses, and the saddles, and all of that. That's what he was going to do. I wanted you to get that idea there, because we have it in the Septuagint, but we don't have it in the Hebrew. But later on, they brought it in. All right. 1422. Abe, you come all the way from Los Angeles and got back here and got to the class. Good man. I used to do that when I was young. I'd teach 5 hours in Los Angeles, come to Bakersfield and teach another hour, hour and a half at night time. That's when I was young. I couldn't even ride here and back in one day anymore. Wyomer. How should you say that in modern Hebrew? How would you say that? Randall, how would you say Wyomer? But it would be what? Wyomer. All right. And then Abram, El, Melech, Sidom, Harimote, Yoti, El. What's that next word? Hadavar, Adonai, Hashem, the name of God, okay? And then we have El, Elyon, Jehovah, El, Elyon. All right? Koneh, Shemaim, we Aretz. All right. Well, Aretz. Let's go back and look at it now. And he said and kept on saying, Abraham, see that word, third person, masculine, singular. Cal, while consecutive, imperfect. Now, look at the numbers and stuff down there. Page 55 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 65 in Kohler and Baumgartner. And what is the root of this? So what is the three-letter root? Aleph, Mem, and Resh. All right? Amen. Abram. And Abram, it looks the same thing in Hebrew as it is in Greek. Abram. It's Alpha, Beta, how do you say R in Greek? Resh? Ro. Couldn't even think of it. Ro. Alpha, and then Mem. All right. Abram. I get my Greek and Hebrew mixed up so much I can't get separated sometimes. El, unto king. Unto the king. Now look at this word El there. That is not El God this time, but it's used as a little preposition, isn't it? Unto king of Sodom. What does Sodom mean?
Flammable.
All right. Keep the idea there because it's very important later on. Harimote. All right. Harimote. all right. I have raised up my hand unto Jehovah. Unto Jehovah. I have raised my hand up unto Jehovah, God Most High. Jehovah El Elyon. All right? In the Septuagint is Ton Theon. Ton Theon, Ton Heapstone. Heapstone. All right? Possessor. Kone. Possessor. It means owner. Masculine singular, Cal participle, he owns it. Page 888 and page 1111 in the two respective lexicons. And then Shemaim, heavens. It's not heaven as it's translated in the Septuagint, but heavens, plural. All right? Because he owns all the heavens, doesn't he? How many heavens are there that we know about? Three heavens. All right? The heaven where that's around the earth, that's the breathing space around the earth. It's the heaven where the stars are and the galaxies, and the heaven where the abode of God is. The three heavens. We have three heavens. He owns them all. Let's look at the earth right there. The tiny little earth, little green earth. Around the earth is a breathing space. That's the first heaven. Around out of that is where the stars and everything. God told Abraham, look up in the stars and see if you can count the stars. If you can count the stars, you can count your descendants. And then way out there in the yonder, in the third heaven, is the abode of God. One, two, three heavens that we know about. Now, if there's more of them out there than might be, I don't know. But we know about three of them. Im, 1423. Im. All right. Michut. Wead. Saruk. Na'al, we'im, Eka, Miko, Asher, Lak, Wilo, Tomar, Ani, He, Esarti, Et, Avram. Okay. What does Avram mean? What does Abram mean? I know Abram knows that. Abe knows what Abram. Exalted Father. Father comes from two Greek or two Hebrew words. Two Hebrew words. By the way, we studied from the book of Micah this morning, and Micah is a shortened form of Michael. who is like God. All right? I thought I'd leave that one up there, and you can look that on page 576 in Kohler and Bumgarner, or 567 Brown, Driver, and Briggs. We even study Hebrew in Sunday school. Isn't that right, Abe? You were here this morning. Michael, who is like or compared to God? And in the Hebrew scriptures, you will see in the lexicons, it will say Michael / Jehovah. All right? Who is like God Jehovah? Where are we here? M, from. What would that be in Greek?
From. What is the from in Greek?
Let's look at this. See if I can find my way over here. All right. 14:23. I'm over here one chapter. 14:23. Apo. I know it should have been apo. When you when you're apostate, what are you doing?
Apostate.
You stand away from. You stand away from. Apostates, those that have stood away from the truth. They will not have anything to do with the truth. All right. Him. All right. From a thread. A shoelace. All right. A thread. Not one thread. Not one thread of cloth. Cloth is woven from threads, isn't it? Not one thread he will take. And unto, we odd, and unto a thong. That is a shoelace. Of a sandal. Now, a sandal, in Greek, is a hypodeo. All right? A sandal in Greek is a hypodeo. And I want you to think about what a sandal is or a shoe is today. Because this is the idea of it. They used to do some weird things back in those days. You know, when they made a covenant with somebody, they would take their shoe off and give their shoe to the person. You have odor in shoes, don't you? Really, you do. All right? Now, they would take their sandals off, and the smell of that person would always be with you because you would keep his shoe as your sign of the contract. Now, this is really funny today. And a shoe is an underbinder. That's what a shoe is, an underbinder. Cindy, you've got some, what do you call that?
Flip-flops.
Okay? And they're underbinders. How do you keep them under your feet? The strap that goes across keeps them under your feet. Now, if you look at my shoes, this is what you call a SAS shoe. But the only thing I can wear because my feet are crippled. But really, I've got a sole there, and it is an underbinder. Now, it's got covers on it and everything else. But that's an underbinder still. Hypodeo, underbinder. All right, here's a sandal. Na'al. Na'al, and it's a hypodeo in Greek, but the idea of it both is they are something that's bound to the bottom of your foot, an underbinder. You got some of them too, don't you? All right, underbinders. They look, you know, people, here I am wearing modern shoes, and you guys going way back to biblical days. Underbinders. That's hard to be improved. It's comfortable, isn't it? I guarantee your feet are more comfortable than mine are in these here. They're probably cooler in this weather. All right? The sandal, the na'al, we'im, and if, all right, I shall take from, I shall keep on taking from, all, which, to you, and not, that way there, that we low there, that low is a adverb of negation. And you can look at it up on 519 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. That's an adverb of negation. Tomar. And you may say, all right, tomar. That comes from amar, all right. And you may say, this second person, masculine, singular, cal, imperfect. And you may say, and keep on saying, I, ani, hesarti, I have enriched. Signed of the direct object there. What is the sign of the direct object in Greek? Ace. All right. What's the idea, the grammatical idea of the direct object in Greek? And it brings over to the... It is what? It has the idea of a direction. What is it?
Extension or limitation of
thought or verbal action. Very good. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. In the Greek, that's the way it is. And in Hebrew, we somewhat have the same idea. Abram, exalted father. Now let's look at Oab here for a minute. Abram. This will give you the idea of the Hebrew idea of how the language is made up. Okay? We'll erase this. All right. What's the first letter in the Hebrew language? Aleph. All right. What's the next letter? Beth. That's it. Alpha and Beth. Now, the first letter stands for what? Ox's head. Head. Okay, ox's head. All right. The ox's head, or the head, and then faith stands for what? House. The head of the house is whom? The father. All right? So there we have. That's how we make up the word father. The head of the house is the father. The head of the home is the father. Most places in the world, that man is the head of the house. In America, we have problems with it. But in most places in the world, that's the way it is. The father is the head of the house. Let's go on then. This morning we thrashed politics, we thrashed Montana and a bunch of other places. We got after the court system and everything else in the book of Micah. He was after them all, boy.
After Montana.
One of my pastor friends called me on the phone and talked to me, and he said, "What's the matter with those people up in Montana?" I said, "Well, I talk to people up in Montana all the time," and he said, "They're weird." He said, "How did they gravitate to one state, all these weird people?" I just got to say this one thing. A long time ago, 150 years ago, George Crook, you know who George Crook, General George Crook was? He went up there, and the people that were the wildest and the roughest and the most untrustworthy rats in the American troops were what they called the Montana Volunteers. He said they called them the Montana Volunteers because nobody else would have them. He said when he had to go, this was a lieutenant under Crook, I think it was Britton Davis. He said, "When I went out there with those people and I'm over these men, I have to sleep on everything that I own every night and make sure it's under me or else it won't be there in the morning." Real problem children. All right, the Montana Volunteers. Well, a little history. All right, let's go on a little further. 1424. All right. Bilodeh. All right. Rock. Asher. Akulu. All right. Hanerim. Wihelek. Ha-anakim. Ha-anakim. Him. All right. Hanashim. Ha-anashim. See that shim down there? Ha-anashim. Asher. Halika. Ite. Aner. Eshkol, Umamre, Hem, Yiku, Hal, or Helkom. All right. Apart from only, which they have eaten. They have eaten. Third person, corporal, plural, cal, perfect. They have eaten. Of course, you know, when you've eaten something already up, nobody wants you to go throw it back up, do they? That's not going to happen. They're not going to ask for their food back. Okay? And it said, only what they have eaten, the young men, all right, what they have eaten, the young men, and the portion, the men, who they have gone, third person corporal plural, cal perfect, they have gone with Aner, with Eshcol and Mamre. They may take their split. All right. Their portion or their division or their split is marida in Greek. It's marida in Greek. Now let's look at it, these last two verses in our modern translation again. Down to 14:24, who has delivered your enemies into your hand and gave them a tenth from all? And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give the people to me and take the, what? The Calvary, the portable goods for yourself, is what it says in the Septuagint. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of the heavens and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal or thong, anything that is yours, lest you say that I have made Abraham rich. And I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten, and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their share. All right. Now we're in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. We did it, didn't we? We got up through 14. All right. Achar. Hadabarim. Ha'ele. Haya. Davar. And here we have Ha'davar again, or Jehovah. A'el. Avram. And then we have Bam. Ma'ha'ze. Lemor. By the way, it's Lemor. Like the Spanish roll their R's, Lemor. Lemor. Okay? That's basically the way the modern Hebrews, they roll their R's on this. Al, Tirah, Avram, Anohi, Magan, Lach, Sikarika, Harbe, Meod. All right, so we're now in the 15th chapter. And after the words these, now it says the remata these, all right? The edicts. This is an edict. This is a speech. This is a proclamation. All right? Abraham made a proclamation, an edict, a speech that's written in stone, so to speak. All right? This was something that he wrote down, and it was a legal document. All right, and the word remata, tata. The word remata in Greek comes from reo. Remata, all right, re. That's like you have an H on the front. Remata. So you get a little Greek and Hebrew both. Okay, it comes from reo. Reo means to flow. All right, to flow. He made a flowing speech, an edict, a document, a legal document. That's what this term means. The, page 206, if you want to write that down. I didn't write all these things down in mine, but I remember the page numbers, so we will write them down now, 206. That's the definite article there. What are the definite articles in Greek? Three of them. There's one of them in Greek, in Hebrew here. What are the three in Greek? Ho, a, and to. Ho, a, and to. Ho, a, and to. Masculine, feminine, and neuter. All right? In Greek, it's just, or in Hebrew, it's just ha. Okay? You can tell from the word whether it's masculine, feminine, or neuter. In Greek, the definite article, the pointer, describes all of it. Okay? After these sayings, these, Hayah, had become. This is a change from one state to the other. Had become, all right? Before he made this statement, he could have taken whatever he wanted. But after he made the statement, something had become. All right, a different. There's a contract now. He made a contract. He made a statement. He made a speech, a flowing speech. He made an edict. Had become word of Jehovah unto Abraham. All right. In vision. All right. Hayah Dabar, the word of Jehovah. The word Dabar. Look at that word Dabar. The root of it is Dabar. Just like it is here. Dabar. Dalet, Beth, and Resh. All right. Dabar. What does Dabar mean? What's the idea? In Jeremiah it says, and the word of the Lord became unto Jeremiah the prophet. The word of the Lord. Remember what the word is. What would be the equivalent of this in Greek? It's very important. Logos. Or the verb is Lego. Okay. What does Lego mean? What does Lego mean? You remember, Brother Randall, what Lego means?
You put
words in order, but the idea of Lego is the idea of a little bird. What is the little bird doing out in the yard? He's out there picking up what he wants to and sorting out between rocks. You know, birds eat rocks, don't they? Birds eat rocks because that's their teeth. If you've got a cage full of doves or something like that around, you've got to put gravel in there because they can't digest their food correctly if they don't have gravel in their craw. Okay, or actually in their gizzard. And the gizzard is muscle. Anyway, they go out there in the yard and they pick up seeds and they pick up rocks. Just the right amount of whatever. They pick them out. That's what Lego, we get the word election from that too, to pick out. All right, Dabar. Dabar, and the words when we speak to somebody, when we make a remata or a speech or a declaration, we're putting words in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I am going to teach Hebrew this afternoon. I put words in a row, and you understand what that meant. Okay? And as I talked all night, I put words in a row. They made sense all the time, but I put words in a row. Okay? They're in a row. So you can understand, from my mind, I have picked out vocabulary words to communicate to you. Now, that word Lego and the word Dabar. Dabar can mean a line of soldiers. It can mean a line of fence posts. Have you ever gone down in somebody's yard and they put up a fence and it looked like that? Have you ever seen something like that? It wasn't in a row, was it? When you put up a fence, you line the fence post up and you're supposed to just see one foot fence post. That's what it's supposed to be. And that's the way it is, lined up one after another. So Dabar means a line of words. It can mean a fence post, a line of fences, a line of houses, a line of soldiers, whatever. But they're lined up, and Lego means to pick out and place an order. Okay, so there we have it. The word of Jehovah unto Abraham in a vision. Ba ma heze, in a vision, saying, not you fear. Second person, nice and senior, cow, Joseph. In meaning. Abram. Anoki. Say Anoki. Anoki. That means I. I shield Magan lock unto you. God is our shield. Alright? He's our Magan. He's our shield. And your reward, Si Karika, your reward, Harbe, the great. Miod exceedingly. The great exceedingly. Your reward is going to be great. Your hire, your payment. That word reward there. In Greek, it's mistos. Mistos. That's your wages. Your mistos. Your reward, your wages, is going to be very great. Why? We're going to find out. And Abraham, he gripes to God. God tells him this great statement. He appears to him in a dream, basically a hypnotic dream. Hypnose is what the Greek word is. And when it talks about being in a dream or appearing in a vision, or when in the book of Genesis where God put Adam asleep, he calls a deep sleep to fall upon him, it's the word hypnose. He put him in a hypnotic trance. In China, years and years ago, they were hypnotizing people and doing surgery on them. Did you know that, brother? Abe? They did that. In South America, they were hypnotizing people and doing surgery on them. That was a form of anesthesia. When God put Adam to sleep and took from his sides blood and flesh and bone, he hypnotized him and he woke him up. And I bet God made real good sutures on him and put him back together perfectly. There probably wasn't even any scars. I've had a lot of sutures on me over the years. Remember one of the first times I ever cut myself, across one of my fingers, I had to go in and get stitches in it. They stitched it up, and for years you could see the stitches and everything. Then a pack of wild dogs were chasing me, and I ran to a barbed wire fence and cut my head open, and they stitched that up, and there were stitches along through there. Soda. All right. I am a shield, and your reward is exceedingly. And then Wyomer, Avram, Adonai, Jehovah, Ma, T10, Le, Wianoki, Holek, Harari, Yuvan, Mizek, Beti, Hu, Domestic, Eliezer. All right. And said and kept on saying Abraham, Lord, Adonai. That means what? In Greek, it, by the way, in the Septuagint, is Kyrios. All right? Lord Jehovah. All right? Lord Jehovah, what can you give me? For what reason will you give me anything or keep on giving me anything? Second person masculine singular, Cal Imperfect. To me and I, departing, all right, dying, is what he means, halek, dying, masculine singular, cal participle, I'm dying, I'm walking through life, childless, stripped, childless, and son, and Ben, according to a pattern, I don't have a child according to a pattern. Brother Harry, could you go up there and see if that thing turned off, that air conditioner, would you mind? Did it turn off? Yeah, the timer went off, I think. It's getting warm up here. Yeah. Thank you. And son, and Ben means what? According to a pattern. When you have a child, you have it according to a pattern. Maset, a possessor of my house. He, Damascus Eliezer. All right. Now, he said, I have a great servant in my house, and his name is Eliezer. And I'm going to have to give all I have to Eliezer of the Syrian from Damascus. Eliezer came from Damascus. This Syrian man, I'm going to give everything that I have. He said, I don't have a child. I don't have any heirs. You're going to give all this stuff to me and to my children, and I don't have any. He's complaining. Eliezer. Eliezer, by the way, is a type of John the Baptist. Write that down someplace in your memory banks. Eliezer is a type of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. He was a friend of the bridegroom, wasn't he? When Abraham finally had a son, he sent his Eliezer, his trusted servant, the one that he was going to leave all of his possessions to, he sent him to the Ur of the Chaldees, back up there, and to go back and talk to, who was that old fellow? Sarah's relative and Abram's relative. All right? What was his name? He was a shyster, wasn't he? He's going up there and get his son a child. Huh?
Laban?
Yeah. He goes up there and Laban means, well, this is really funny. His name means white boy. He was a white boy. Mighty white of you, as they used to say. A white boy. Okay? The white boy wasn't quite so honest, old Laban. Maybe he had real blonde hair or silver hair or something, or maybe a really light complexion, but his name was Laban. Okay? Laban was his name. White boy. He went up there and Laban tried to rip old Eliezer off, but I'm going to tell you what, Eliezer was a lot more stern, wasn't he, than what Jacob was later. Jacob just kind of rolled over when old Laban punched him, but Eliezer said, I have a mission, like John the Baptist. He said, I have a mission and I'm here to get that child. I'm here to get a daughter, a wife for Isaac, and that's what I'm here for. No baloney. I'm not standing around. They said, let's have a feast and have a big a wedding feast and a going away party. He said, forget it. He said, I'm not here for a party. I'm here to get this woman, and I'm ready to go home. They said, well, let's ask her and see if she's ready to go yet. And he said, well, God led me to her. And they asked her, and she said, are you ready to go without a party and all this kind of stuff and hanging around for another 2 weeks or 3 weeks and going through all this stuff? And she said, let's go. So Eliezer got off with him. Now, John the Baptist had one mission in this world, didn't he? What was John the Baptist's mission? To be a forerunner and prepare the church, prepare the bride for Christ, their husband. John the Baptist went out preaching and clearing the way. He was the forerunner of Christ. He was the one that went out and called the bride. Eliezer called the bride in the Old Testament. John the Baptist called the bride. He baptized the bride. He washed her. All right? And presented to her to her husband, which was Jesus. And when that was done, what was his job to do after that? That was it. He said, I must decrease. Guess what happened to John the Baptist? He got his head chopped off. Got his head chopped off by one of the descendants of Esau, Herod. Boy, the wrong man was on the throne. Esau's descendant was not supposed to be on the throne of Israel. It's supposed to be Jacob's. It's called Israel's throne, not Esau's throne. All right. Let's do another verse here. Let's see what time I've got left. I've got a little time left here. I try to keep the classes to where they fit on that CD there. Wyomer. Avram, Hen, Le, Lo, Natata, Zara, Wihene, Ben, Bete, Yo, Res, Hote. All right, Hote and Hote in Greek are almost the same thing. And he said, third person masculine singular, cal, vowel, consecutive, imperfect, and he said, Abram, behold, hen, to me, not, you have given Zerah, seed. What is the word in Greek for seed? Sperma. You haven't given me a seed, any seed yet. And behold, wihene, and behold, son, not I have. Son, not I have. Why rest? And it's basically the idea is, who shall inherit from me? Who shall inherit from me? Who shall keep on inheriting from me? All right? I don't have a son in my house, so how in the world, I mean, what's all this going to be to me? Nothing. All right. I don't have an heir. I don't have an heir to give any of this to. You know, one of the most important things in this world is your family, isn't it? And to leave heirs. If you don't leave an heir in this world, there's nothing. When they bury you, you're buried. Huh. That's it. That's the end of it. A lot of people have died in the world without an heir. Their name is not carried on at all. Period. It's over with. Cut off. And Abraham said, I'm going to be cut off. When I die, I'm not going to have an heir, so what good is all this wealth that you're saying you're going to give me, and I don't have an heir to give it to? So God's got a surprise for him, doesn't he? Got a surprise. Got a surprise. I want to tell you something, though. A lot of people have lost their children in this world. They have lost their children over Christ. The Apostle Paul was one of them. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, wasn't he? We know he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was on Sanhedrin court. Now we know logically and we know historically that the Apostle Paul had to be married. And to be a Pharisee and a rabbi and on the Sanhedrin court, he had to have had children. And he had to raise them up, and they had to be respectable citizens. Or you couldn't be on Sanhedrin court. Forget it. Historically, we have documents in the Athanasian Fathers in different places that say that when the Apostle Paul became saved, when he was saved on the road to Damascus, you know, that's quite a way. Damascus is an old, old place. I've been there. I spent a week in Damascus, the most backward place in the world I ever saw. Eliezer was from Damascus. All right? He was the type of the bridegroom. All right? Well, he didn't have any seed. He had no children. He was destined to go out of existence. He said, I don't have any children. I have to leave my goods to somebody else. The Apostle Paul, his wife divorced him, they say. His children disowned him. They went out and had a mock burial for him. And he had no heirs because they had disowned him. It's a hard thing when your children disown you. But God said that Paul would have many more children. And how many children did he have? He didn't have any more. They say he had himself made a eunuch for the kingdom of God. He didn't have any more children. He didn't want to have lust or anything. Nothing to stop in his way between him and God. And he made many children. And he called Timothy and a lot of these, he called them his sons in the faith. And God gave him children in the faith. Children in the faith. So he had sons. He had something to hand on. And what a legacy we have from the Apostle Paul, don't we? As far as we know, he may have spiritual seed, I mean physical seed in this world. His children may have had children. But that's not the ones that count. It's the spiritual children of Paul that really count. The Paulicians, they were a group of Baptists a long time ago. They called them Anabaptists. The Paulicians were those people that have all the letters of Paul. All of Paul's letters. And they called themselves Paulicians because they studied all the Gospels, basically, and all of Paul's letters. But the Paul's letters are the doctrinal letters of the Bible. We're doing the book of Romans on Wednesday night. That's a miniature Bible in itself, the book of Romans. Right there by you can study everything in the Bible from the book of Romans. All right, 15 and verse 4. Wihine, Devar, Jehovah, Elah, Lemor, Lo, Yerashika, Zea, Ki, Im, Asher, Yetzi, Mim Mika, Q, Yerashika. All right. And behold, word of Jehovah unto him. The edicts of Jehovah, the word, the promise, the contract of Jehovah unto him saying, Cal infinitive construct, saying, not shall inherit him from you. This one is not going to inherit from you. This one. Because him which you shall go out from your own reproductive organs, from your own body, from your own belly, from your own bowels, from your own reproductive organs, he shall keep on inheriting from you. He shall keep on inheriting. Third person masculine, Cal and perfect. He shall keep on inheriting. he shall keep on inheriting. That's quite a story there. He's an heir with the type of John the Baptist, Matthew 11 and 14, Luke 7, 24 through 28, John 3, 29, and 3, 28 through 30, 22 through 36, and Matthew 25, 6, Ephesians 5, 23 through 27 and 32, Revelation 21, 2 and 9, and Revelation 22, 17, and 2 Corinthians 11 and 2. All cross-references to this. He was a type. And Jesus one time said, there is no greater prophet on the earth than whom? John the Baptist. But who shall be least in the care in the kingdom of God? Because he didn't inherit anything. Like Eliezer. He didn't inherit anything. He was the last prophet of the Old Testament. The last prophet of the Old Testament. The prophets were until the Psalms and the prophets were until who? John. After that, we have the preaching of the kingdom of God. The king has come. All right. Next week, we'll start in 15 and verse 5.